Good evening, everyone, and welcome back. I hope you had a lovely day today, and you didn't get too wet. Did anyone get caught in the shower this afternoon, can I ask? Tonight we have something I think, as you know, very special, because in about 30 minutes Daddy Janki will join us and lead us in meditation and share some thoughts. But until that time, I'm just going to share a few ideas to build on what was happening this morning. Because during this retreat, we like to build the thoughts and the practice of meditation together. Achieving inner peace. Is there anything more important in life? And I feel it's innate in the human spirit to want peace. And almost all the things we do in life, the ultimate aim is to create a feeling of calm or a feeling of contentment, a fragrance inside that makes me feel comfortable, whether it's relationships, whether it's work, whatever. And I think all of us have special moments in our lives that bring us to this point. We've all arrived in Mount Abu for this retreat, peace of mind. And for me, one of the special moments, which was perhaps life transforming, was when I was 17 years old. I grew up in Melbourne and I was very involved in many social movements. And I think, as you know, as a teenager, very idealistic. And one of them was the peace movement. The country in which I lived was involved in the war in Vietnam. And once I went to Canberra, the capital of the country, for a university festival, and there was a peace march. And the peace march became quite peaceless. And all sorts of things happened. And I was arrested with 200 others, and I ended up in the federal prison for the night. And I was only 17, perhaps quite naive, feeling that I was really campaigning for a more peaceful world. And you could imagine 200 of us in this jail together. For a while we sang songs and John Lennon songs and things. It was the 1970s. So it really dates all of us, dates me. But when that stopped and quietened down, a conversation developed. And I was just sitting listening to this conversation, and I had a profound realization that we who were the so-called peace, the leaders of the peace movement, were such an angry, negative and peaceless group of people. So it really made me realize that unless I experience peace, nothing will happen in this world, things won't change. So I began this journey, and for a few years I travelled the world from Australia through to Europe and lived in religious communities with Sikhs and Buddhists and Muslims and Hindus and yogis. You know, not really consciously, but this quest to find the inner me and to retake that sovereignty, which I think is a human right, to taste the feeling of peace inside. And as I was traveling, I began to dabble in meditation. And quite frankly, that was another life-changing experience, because I realized with all my education, I knew nothing about my mind really, and had really no power internally to deal with my own thoughts. If I began to worry and I gave a direction to my mind to stop worrying, I couldn't stop. If feelings of fear emerged, and I gave a direction to my mind, you know, to stop, I couldn't. And I began to, I remember the phrase I had in my mind at that time, I was a slave inside my own head. And I think the beauty of a gathering like this is it reforms my relationship with my mind. And we're all sitting here so peacefully, but in the privacy of my own mind, we're creating thousands of thoughts and projecting them into the atmosphere. Even as I am speaking, your mind is doing so many different things. You're sort of listening, but people are coming into your mind, things you have to do. The mind is such a complex thing. And I think achieving peace of mind is surely the highest human achievement, because I've read quite a deal about the mind, and some scientists say that in a waking day, the human mind in 16 hours will create 30 to 50,000 unique thought patterns. Now, I sometimes quote that, but I have absolutely no idea who counted them. Basically, there's a lot of activity. Another scientist says that you can speak about 125 words a minute, but you can think up to 500 words a minute. In psychology, they say that the mind is aware on 7 different levels at any given moment. And so your mind, like even for me sitting here, I'm speaking to you, I'm thinking what I will say, I'm watching people coming in and trying to find their seat and getting settled. I can hear things going on. Many things the mind is processing. The body sleeps, eats, rests, but for the mind, what do we do? And I think that learning about my mind, educating myself about my mind, is an essential ingredient in achieving inner peace. And if you reflect, well, what drives my thinking? What is really driving this incessant stream of energy through my mind? And I have the image, which I love these days, that my mind, my original and natural state of my mind, is like that crystal clear bowl of pure still water. Just hold that image that in your mind is this very still, calm, crystal bowl of water. But there's gateways into that calm mind. The ears. We hear things, we hear comments, and it drives my thinking. Sometimes a storm brews. Or even my eyes. I see things, I see injustice, I see things that I don't like, and it begins to drive my thinking. Or even perhaps a memory begins to percolate into my mind from the past. Instantly my mood changes, my thoughts change. And so it's like the outside world, people, situations, personalities are really driving my thinking. Most of my thinking is reacting to life. Why is meditation so important? Because when I sit to meditate, I'm actually creating the thoughts I want. I'm not just sitting there receiving stimuli through my sense organs. I'm sitting down and consciously creating the thoughts that I want and eventually educating myself to experience. And this is why I think meditation begins to change my whole approach to life. Rather than life driving my mind, I start to take back the power of creating the thoughts I want in my mind. So in this crystal clear bowl of still water, the original state of mind, what are the highest quality of thoughts that I want to put into that space to give me the experience I want? I am the master. It is my mind. Each thought is my creation. And which thoughts or what has the greatest influence on the quality of thoughts which I'm creating. For me, it's my sense of self. It's fundamentally how I see myself, how I feel about myself is influencing the creation of each thought which is flowing through my mind. And I think this morning you heard about that fundamental first step of meditation, who am I? That I am a soul. 80% of us believe we're a soul. I've seen statistics. In most parts of the world, the majority of us have an idea that we're something more than a body. But we don't know how to experience it. Meditation is the method. But when we sit to meditate and we start to, with sincerity, create thoughts about my intrinsic and permanent self, sometimes I come to roadblocks. Because we've manufactured other personalities inside over a long period of time which don't allow me to attain peace. In fact, they're the seeds of peacelessness. And in my spiritual journey, as I delve into who I am, I've observed that there's like two personalities that I've created that create a peaceless state of being. And in spirituality, I want to create the seed of my permanent self to reemerge the feelings of peace. The first personality that has created that disturbed, overactive, overthinking, peaceless state of mind is really what I call the eye of arrogance or the eye of superiority. And this is a personality that takes its whole sense of self from this temporary body. And I see myself as a whole set of labels. I'm a male, I'm Australian, I'm studied architecture. You know, all the labels that give an identity, but they are all temporary. And this personality compares with everybody. And as I compare, I think I'm better, I know more, I am right. And when this personality is ruling my inner system, when it filters into my feelings, that's when I easily feel insulted, disrespected, not valued, excluded, sensitive, a whole range of emotions which disturb my inner world deeply, create a whole ricochet of peaceless feelings within myself. Because the seed is false. The seed of my sense of self is false. The seed is of this temporary self, my body. And so the result is an overactive, peaceless state of mind. So that is a personality which is built into all of us at the moment. But the second personality is what I often call the eye of lack of self-respect or the eye of inferiority. Often I feel this is the powerful personality ruling our world at the moment. This personality also takes its whole sense of identity from my temporary body. All those labels, but it thinks, it compares and thinks, others are better, others know more, others are right. And when it filters into my feelings, that's when I feel hopeless. You know those feelings sometimes hopeless about myself? I feel unworthy. I feel inadequate. I have a deep sense of inferiority. Or even the contemporary language, depressed. In psychology, depression is like a deep sadness, like this deep, deep sadness inside. My dream in life to be loved and valued hasn't happened. But in spirituality, depression is like a mourning for the loss of my true identity. I'm living my life, but who am I? So once again, the seed of my mind, the seed of my thinking is false. It's of a temporary physical identity which is just created in one life. And because the seed is false, the thinking and the emotions are negative too. And this is why the beauty of meditation says to create a seed of truth in my thinking. And this is where the third eye is the original eye. And I sit and I begin to feed my mind with the thought that I am a soul, a spirit. In the East they say the Atma. And the Atma means really three things. I, the living, the dweller in the costume. And I've been a meditator like so many here for many, many years, but it still absolutely fascinates me, the concept of the permanent self, the true self, just being a point. I am the consciousness, I exist, but I'm a point. In mathematics, a point exists, but has no length, breadth, or width. The soul is so minute, and it sits around the pituitary gland. I am that. The whole personality is within me. But I've entered this temporary form and I've acted through it. And when I begin to identify with it, it builds the ego and lack of self-respect game, which makes me go so high, so tired, and so low. Those massive fluctuations. And so meditation is starting to sow the seed of my true self in my thinking. And my own experience is that it's a journey, it's a process. It's so easy to believe something, but to massage it into my experience takes time and patience. And I really hope that this retreat is the kickstart to a more permanent practice of this self-awareness. Because my feeling is that when I began to practice soul consciousness, it was like coming home to a place in myself where I felt so easy. I took the pressure off myself to impress, look good. You know, all that thing that the world often demands. And feeling so sort of calm and content. Because this is the seed of truth. It starts to produce feelings of peace. Many times, if you ask people, what is the aim of meditation? Most people say that the aim of meditation is to experience peace. My own feeling is that the aim of meditation is to experience my true, original and permanent self as a soul, and automatically feelings of peace begin to emerge in my mind. A fragrance in my mind where my thought speed cools down, and a lovely fragrance of belonging to my true self, of feeling connected to really who I am. Such a sweet feeling. And then I start to see the game of my ego and my lack of self-respect, the game of body consciousness and how it deceives me. And so the first step in meditation is to begin to gently contemplate my permanent self as a soul. And often we begin to do that. We love this idea. And sometimes I think we begin to sit and think, but all sorts of other thoughts come in, a whole jungle of thoughts, because for so long I think we have never really tried to work with my thoughts or my mind. And so I sit to meditate and a jungle of thoughts and feelings emerge, and often we feel, whew, this is too hard for me. Have you felt that? I'm out of here. It's just too difficult, because it seems the overthinking, the layers of thoughts, the stories that go around inside my head. But as we persevere, we move through the jungle of unprocessed feelings, which all come from the seeds of ego and lack of self-respect. And I come to this sweet place of stillness, this absolutely sweet place of calm within myself, a connection with my authentic and true self. To me, what is meditation? Meditation is taking the theory. You will hear the theory in these talks and beginning to convert it into a feeling or an experience. The method of meditation is I have knowledge, and as I contemplate and realize that knowledge, I feel, I experience. I have knowledge of the self as a soul. As I contemplate and realize, I experience peace. But many times I feel that the first step is to know. The second step is to realize. But the next 998 steps are educating myself how to transform a belief, a knowing, a theory, a concept, a philosophical thing to massage it into my experience. Because really, the art of meditation is experience. And when you experience, that motivates you to experience more. And my own feeling, observing my journey, is that this, when we begin, I've spent so many years of my life addicted to a limited identity of being a body. And I begin to practice soul consciousness. And I love the idea of just letting go, stepping back, withdrawing to this point sitting in the center of the forehead. I, the soul, look through my eyes, hear through my ears, act through this body. And it's almost proportional. As much as you can let go the consciousness of my body and go beyond all the labels of, you know, nationality, sex, you know, all these hundreds of labels that the world uses to identify you, and sit in this place of the soul. The more you do, the speed of thinking begins to cool down. The overactive mind calms. It's almost like I'm learning to become detached from this temporary identity, and I'm really preparing myself for the next step in my journey. And this is a self-education. And when I began, I remember thinking that when I went to university, we collect information. We know so much today. We all know you can Google things and you get hundreds of millions of answers of things today. We're an information-based culture. But spiritual learning is very different. It's like taking one idea. Who am I? I am the soul. And going deeper and deeper and deeper. It's a constant journey to fathom the depths of this eternal truth of who I am. The deeper I go, the more profound my peace. My peace isn't just a state confined to sitting in meditation. My peace becomes who I am. It becomes my natural expression of myself. And this is why here we meditate with our eyes open. Because, you know, often I think meditation isn't something you do for a few mornings or day, you know, a few minutes in the morning and the evenings. It's like an attitude to life. I make a decision. I am going to live my life as a peaceful soul. And many years ago, and it was many years ago, I was the subject of an experiment at the University of California in San Francisco. Daddy Jenke was one of those people too. Many BKs. And there was a scientist studying the effects of meditation. It's all on the internet. And what they've learned from a scientific perspective is that meditators can calm their mind down. You know the brain waves, what is it, beta, alpha, theta, delta. When your mind is overactive, they say it's beta plus, when your mind's really speedy. The normal state of mind is beta. And when I come into alpha, we start to calm down. And actually, she was saying that I'm just going to wind up because I can hear Daddy's coming. But I'll just finish this, that what her interest was, that yes, you can meditate and calm down, but when you go back into life, when you go back into challenging family and work situations, does your mind just revert to its old thinking? And I had to sit in this little room and they attached electrodes to me and I was there for 6 hours. And she actually measured my brain waves. And what she said, the people who meditate with eyes open carry peace into everyday life.